Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and Gut Feelings. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, our telehealth center, we have brand new telehealth patient options for you all and lots of free resources, all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff every single month, no matter when you listen to this episode. We're giving away free functional medicine telehealth consults, free signed books, what else? Free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com, lots of things. All you have to do for a chance to win, you get to pick whatever you want if you win, is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of your review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, my team and I will be going through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves, and randomly picking winners every month. And then I'll reach out to you and you get to pick what you want. And we'll either send it out to you or get you scheduled for it. All right, good luck. Let's get to today's guest. She's a longtime friend of mine and a brilliant colleague as well. Her name is Dr. Amy Myers. Dr. Amy Myers is a two-time New York Times bestselling author and internationally acclaimed medical and functional medicine physician. She specializes in empowering those with autoimmune, thyroid, and digestive issues to take back their health and reverse their condition. After 2.5 years of service with the Peace Corps in Paraguay, Dr. Myers set off on a journey that would lead her to later launch a world-famous functional medicine clinic and her content and line of programs, supplements, and beauty products, an over $30 million wellness business, earning a spot on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing American companies for 3 years running and serving the health needs of hundreds of thousands of people in 60 countries around the globe. I'm such a fan of her. She's an amazing human being too. Let's get right to it. This is Dr. Amy Myers, Art of Being Well. Dr. Amy Myers, I am so honored to have you on the podcast. I mean, I've known you for a long time, but you're beyond just knowing you. You're a legend in our space in functional medicine, and I respect you so much. So I don't know if I've ever told you that. I'm telling you that in front of everybody right now.
Well, but, thank you. I appreciate it. Same to you.
Well, thank you. So I have so much to pick your brain today. People are going to get to nerd out with us today, all about thyroid health and gut health, hormone health. And let's start with your journey. I know you yourself have been very public about your journey with autoimmunity, how you reclaimed your health and you walk the walk. Can you go back in time? Because I think a lot of people can relate about what you went through. But take us back. Before you got your health in order, what was going on?
Yeah. So I had just come back from the Peace Corps. I spent 2.5 years in Paraguay, South America. And my mother had been diagnosed very unexpectedly with pancreatic cancer and passed away. And I was doing some research, applying to medical schools. I had decided I wanted to be a holistic doctor or a functional medicine doctor, even though I didn't know what that was at the time. So I started my second year, or I started medical school pretty rough. Second year of medical school, started having panic attacks, tremors, weight loss. I was eating, you know, Ezekiel bread and butter before, you know, going to bed, so I didn't wake up 2 pounds thinner. And then I ultimately got this hand tremor that is really the thing that sent me to the doctor. And when I got there, she brushed me off and said, oh, you know, you're a medical student. You're learning everything in medical school. You think you have everything. I said, hold up. I've been through some stressful stuff in my lifetime, the Peace Corps, my mother dying, and this is not stress. There's really, I know there's something wrong with me. And so she ran some labs and called me a couple weeks later and said I had Graves' disease, which is hyperactive or overactive thyroid, which then, of course, explained all of my symptoms of the weight loss, the tremor, the insomnia, the anxiety, and all of that stuff. And, you know, I didn't, now in looking back in history, there are some people who were deceased in my family before I knew them that had some autoimmunity, but there was nobody else in my family with autoimmunity, just like my mother was the first with cancer. And so I really didn't know what I was dealing with. I was terrified. And, you know, I reached out to Dr. Andrew Weil, who was a hero of mine. I had studied with him. I searched high and low for alternative or holistic treatments for Graves' disease. I tried Chinese medicine first. I started feeling worse. So I went to the endocrinologist and was told that I could have my thyroid ablated, I could have it surgically removed, or I could take some medication. I took something called PTU. It seemed like the lesser of the three evils. So I started with that. And within a couple of weeks, I was feeling even worse, dry skin, hair falling out, exhausted, you know, crusty nose and flaky skin. Went back to the doctor. I was exhausted. Now, you know, was just oversleeping. And he checked my liver enzymes and I was 1 in a million. My liver was starting to fail due to this medication. And so I was promptly sent home to get in bed, and I had what was called toxic hepatitis and had to basically, I thought I was going to have to drop out of medical school. I had an incredible lab partner at the time who helped get me through, but I had to basically get in bed, let my liver heal. And then I became very hyperthyroid, and then I had to figure out what to do. So I ended up choosing the ablation because I knew no one like myself, or, you know, functional medicine really wasn't around much at all back then. And so I had my thyroid ablated. And then that was a whole nother roller coaster of symptoms of waxing and waning, of hyperthyroid, hypo, dumping symptom of, you know, my thyroid dying. And eventually finished medical school, went to residency for ER medicine because I thought, well, if I never figure out this holistic, you know, or functional medicine, then I could at least do international medicine since I had been in the Peace Corps. Finished, moved to Austin, was practicing as an ER physician, and then said, you know, I got to get back to my roots. I'd done all my electives in medical school and integrative medicine. I was president of the complementary and alternative medicine group. So I went to a conference. I heard about functional medicine for the first time. I, you know, heard Mark Hyman speak. I ended up going up to shadow him. He became a mentor to me. And then really within about a year, I opened my own clinic and started taking all the courses through the Institute for Functional Medicine. And of course, you know, the autoimmune solution. But really what I say is conventional medicine failed me. And it is my mission to not have it fail you too. So I can't go back and get my thyroid back. That was done. But what I learned is that, you know, those of us with autoimmunity are 3 times more likely to get another one. And I also learned through functional medicine that the gut is the gateway to health. And if I really didn't go and understand why I got this in the first place and really unravel that, peel back the onion, heal all of those things, then I was leaving myself open to more autoimmunity. And I, of course, didn't want that. And so, you know, I used myself as the guinea pig. And then ultimately, you know, through my clinic, had, you know, thousands of people come through my clinic with autoimmunity. Now it's bittersweet, but I've helped many, many people reverse Graves' disease and not have to do, you know, what I did.
Thank you for sharing that. So let's, if we could go through frequently asked questions, like the most burning thyroid questions that I know that you get, I get all day long. I think people are going to learn a lot from your experience. The first one, myth or truth? I know you actually ate a vegetarian diet for 27 years, right? So myth or truth, a vegetarian diet is healthy?
Well, I don't know that there's a specific answer to that. I could say there are healthier ways to be a vegetarian and there are unhealthy ways. I was eating tofurkey and processed cheese and, you know, I was eating whole grain Ezekiel bread, which in one sense you can look at as being healthier than white bread because there's more fiber, but you can also look at it as I do now from a functional medicine perspective as more irritating to the gut because it has, you know, lectins and various aspects that can cause irritation to the gut, can cause leaky gut. You know, many people that I see with autoimmunity have infections such as candida, SIBO. I have had all of these things. And I think that was from my high grain diet. So, you know, originally when I became a vegetarian, I was eating tofu, which at the time was probably healthier than it is now because it wasn't GMO back then. But, you know, now it's considered rather unhealthy in my opinion. And I grew up on brown rice, you know, and if I were to choose, I feed my daughter white rice versus brown rice. So it's a very complex question, but I would say certainly in both of my books, when I talk about reversing autoimmunity, I do encourage eating basically a paleo diet. And I thought that was going to be very difficult for me after 27 years of eating brown rice and tofu and broccoli to, you know, cut out not only the tofu, but also the rice and, you know, switch to animal protein. But honestly, the first time that I had meat, my body just craved it. And I just kind of went on this meat frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that pragmatically, when I'm building protocols for patients, if they're plant-based or vegetarian or vegan for religious reasons or, you know, personal conviction reasons, you kind of have to see what their wiggle room is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and we've both done it. Like we've built, if we have to build the best, most nutrient dense, completely plant-based diet, I'll do it. But it's sometimes, don't you find that people that are dealing with autoimmune issues specifically, this isn't everybody, we're talking about a subset of people that have autoimmunity, that you're left with, if they're having sensitivities to grains and legumes and you're left with not enough food to sustain them.
It's very difficult. And so, yes, I would always have those conversations with people that came in, you know, there's this environmental reason, and there's lots of debates about that, that maybe eating meat is actually healthier than all of these grains. Again, it really depends on what type of vegetarian diet you're having. If it's full of processed, you know, non-meat food and beyond meat burgers, that's not going to be healthier. But if you're eating a really plant-rich diet, you know, A, where are you getting your protein? And then B, why are you doing this? Because for me, a lot of it was texture. And then I did read books about the environment and animals. And that's, you know, ultimately why I gave it up. But it started as a texture thing. And it still is a texture thing for me. I'm very specific and picky about, you know, the animal protein that I consume. But, you know, I'll ask people, so we have a paleo protein powder that's collagen based, or we just have collagens, you know, can you do that? Is this more of a texture thing and that you could actually drink some of your protein? So those are ways if people are avoiding meat or animal based products because of texture or something non-religious for reasons that are not religious in base.
Mm-hmm. I agreed. I love going to Sweetgreen to get an amazing salad, which is perfect for anything you're looking to do this new year to start your year off right. But I have to tell you, I always thought Sweetgreen was just a salad place only, but they just launched these new protein plates. You have to check these out. When I'm looking at telehealth patients, their macronutrients, looking at them optimizing their food protocol, oftentimes a very overlooked aspect of food as medicine is not prioritizing your protein and getting enough of complete protein. And they make it so easy at Sweetgreen. They have delicious protein plates like the miso glazed salmon, the Southwest chicken fajita, the hot honey chicken is also delicious. I've tried them all. My favorite probably is the herb roasted chicken. It's so delicious. And you're not just getting the protein, you're getting lots of plant foods as well, lots of fiber-rich vegetables in addition to your protein, all the things we need. What is also great about these new protein plates is that there's no seed oils that's used in making them, only extra virgin olive oil or avocado oil. What's super cool is that every Sweetgreen location works with local farmers and local suppliers, which means they are supporting our community. Use promo code COLE5 for $5 off for all new users. Try the all new protein plates at your local Sweetgreen or in the Sweetgreen app. Bond Charge is this amazing holistic wellness brand that I love. We recommend to our telehealth patients as well. They have a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every single way. Founded on science and inspired by nature, all Bond Charge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern-day world. Their extensive range of premium wellness products helps you to sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list is endless. From blue light glasses to red light therapy to EMF management and circadian-friendly lighting, Bond Charge products help you naturally address the issues of our modern-day way of life effortlessly and with maximum impact. My favorite products from Bond Charge is their infrared sauna blanket. We recommend it to telehealth patients when we want to be supporting metabolic health, support optimal mood, lowered inflammation levels, detoxification pathways. It works by raising our heart rate to that of physical exercise, so it burns calories while you relax. You can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. Sweating helps flush out toxins like heavy metals, and it works by using infrared light, which heats the body directly rather than the air around you like a traditional sauna. This means you can get the same benefits at a lower heat. You can enjoy a 30 to 40 minute session in your sauna blanket while you're relaxing, while you're reading, watching TV, while you're meditating, and it's sleek, easy to clean, and a lightweight design. There's free shipping on every sauna blanket, and Bond Charge ships worldwide in rapid time. They make returns and exchanges very easy, and they give you a 30-day trial and a 12-month warranty. Go to bondcharge.com/WillCole and use coupon code WillCole to save 15% off. That's bondcharge.com/WillCole and use coupon code WillCole to save 15% off. All right, so fact or fiction, a TSH and a T4 are the only two thyroid labs you need to understand if your thyroid is healthy or not.
Well, that's definitely fiction. And those are the two standards that most physicians are checking. In fact, you know, it used to be most were just screening with a TSH and only would get a what's called, you know, a T4 if the TSH was out of range. So first of all, you know, we know that through trying to find lab ranges in general, but particularly TSH, it's a very broad range that they actually later found many people had hypothyroidism within the normal range. And even the Academy of Endocrinology was really advocating a number of years ago to reduce the reference range for TSH. And so to have one out of bounds means you're really hypothyroid. But really, it's the free hormones. The free T3 is our most active form of thyroid hormone and the one that gives us the get up and go. And so that's an absolute must. Free T4, you can check totals, but it's really the free thyroid hormone that is the most active. We have receptors on our body in every organ in our body for free T3 and free T4. And that's what basically runs our system and our metabolism. I also advocate that you get antibodies checked, TPO. If you want to get thyroid globulin antibodies, that's also fine, but TPO is the most common. And, you know, there are a number of people that have antibodies well before there's actually destruction of the thyroid gland to the point that they need thyroid hormone and that they're diagnosed with hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. And so, you know, certainly what I did in my clinic was to check antibodies of all sorts on people because I believe and witness time and time again that many of these antibodies can go away. And if you catch them early enough, then you prevent the person from even getting autoimmunity to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's something I see daily with new patients. So where do you like your free T3? Like what's your optimal range where you like labs to look?
And so every, you know, there are about four, I mean, depending on where you live in the country, there are about four main lab companies, Quest, LabCorp in Texas, we had something called CPL, clinical pathology. That was the one that I used. So everybody has a slightly different reference range, but you know, over two, between two and three for a free T3. But again, each lab has their own reference range. And some labs, they're very consistent and other ones, they're dramatically different.
Yeah, right. All right. And you mentioned thyroid antibodies are so important for people that And they typically aren't ran. I mean, sometimes people run them, but normally I find that it's the patient asking for them. That when I see antibodies in a lab, it's 9 times out of 10, they're seeing someone in functional medicine or their PCP is obliging them because they're asking, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm a conventional doctor, I'm an MD. So I was trained at a conventional medical school. I worked in a conventional ER. So I feel that I can, if I'm going to knock someone, I'm able to do that since I am one at its root. But look, you know, they believe that there's nothing you can do about autoimmunity. And so whether you just have hypothyroidism or you have Hashimoto's, to an endocrinologist or primary care doctor, it makes no difference. They're going to put you on thyroid hormone and that's all that matters. And I would urge you that that is not the case. It is hugely different whether you have autoimmunity or not, whether you have hypothyroidism for some other reason, not getting your nutrients, have high estrogens and it's binding, whatever the cause is. Having autoimmunity puts you in a different category. And as I just said earlier, you're 3 times more likely to get another one. And, you know, having a thyroid autoimmune condition, luckily, is one of the more, one that isn't going to cause, debilitating illness. I certainly don't want to disregard anyone who's not being managed well on their thyroid and they're continuing to have symptoms and depression or brain fog or sleepiness or weight gain. I don't want to diminish any of those symptoms, but it's certainly very different than scleroderma or MS, where you could have, life crippling and even, death eventually from. So you really want to deal with it and look to the root cause and reverse it if you can. And when I say reversing of an autoimmune condition, particularly, when we're talking about thyroid or diabetes or Addison's, one where you need to be on a hormone, I don't call it thyroid medication. I call it thyroid hormone. If I don't take my thyroid hormone every day because I don't have a thyroid, I will eventually die. So it is life-saving hormones that you're supplementing with. And I am the person that coined the phrase, the autoimmune spectrum, in my book in 2015. And there is this spectrum. And if you catch these antibodies or even newly diagnosed, you may be able to stay off that hormone because your thyroid hasn't been damaged. If you've gone all the way up the spectrum, we may be able to reverse the antibodies. We may be able to reduce the amount of thyroid hormone you're on. We'll hopefully be able to heal your gut and prevent you from getting another autoimmune condition. But we may not be able to say you don't ever need to be on thyroid hormone, right? There, enough damage may have already been done, but it still doesn't mean that you don't want to heal the gut. You don't want to get rid of those antibodies. You don't want to squelch the fire that's brewing inside of you.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. And I think that's such a good point, when it's not that your PCP or GP's being nefarious, like not running these labs, it's superfluous. That's like the end result's still going to be that thyroid replacement hormone. Why would they run the antibodies? But for us in functional medicine, it really does help us understand the mechanisms of action. Like, and like you said, there's increased likelihood of polyautoimmunity, these multiple autoimmune issues. So it helps understand the context of why you had the problem in the first place. So you mentioned looking for other antibodies, something that we've ran for years, and I'm curious to get your thought of it, is that something like Cyrex, is multiple autoimmune reactivity. I find that to be helpful, especially to explain these other symptoms that aren't necessarily Hashimoto's, but part of this larger autoimmune puzzle. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, I've run the test on myself. I've run it on plenty of patients. I was fortunate, being in my clinic working with CPL, I was able to create an autoimmune panel just of a bunch of different autoimmune markers that are already in conventional medicine. And often the insurance company would pay for that. And so that's in my clinic. I let people run the regular labs through their insurance company. And then, they had to pay out of pocket for Cyrex and things. Things may have changed now, but back then there was an insurance pay. And so not everybody can afford, they're already using a lot of money to just go see a practitioner and then to spend another $200-$400 on a test. So certainly when I was worried about certain like neurologic and brain auto antibodies, which really there's not good testing in conventional medicine, I would run that test. But if I was just looking for things like lupus, MS, scleroderma, thyroid, I would run this, what was available through, a conventional lab is what I traditionally did.
Got it. Yeah, I agree. And say, what can we run through conventional labs? And then where do we fill in the gaps? So fact or fiction, you kind of touched on this, but I'd like to get a little bit deeper on like the specifics of it. Is fact or fiction, food has nothing to do with thyroid health and food has something to do with autoimmune issues. A lot of people hear that. You kind of debunked it already. But
of course. Yes. No, I mean, it's hugely impactful. I mean, for the thyroid specifically, well, I mean, it's all so interconnected, right? I mean, if we're eating inflammatory foods, we're creating a leaky gut, then you've opened the gateway to then, you know, create inflammation. Chronic inflammation leads to autoimmunity. Also, you know, back to the vegetarian, which I think was certainly happening with me. I mean, when it comes to thyroid specific, I mean, there are specific nutrients you need to make your thyroid hormone and then to convert your thyroid hormone into that active T3, free T3. So it's selenium, iodine, vitamin A, B vitamins, tyrosine, vitamin D. These are very critical to making your thyroid hormone. And if you're either eating more heavily processed diet or one that is lacking in protein, maybe you're not able to make that, or maybe you've created a situation in your gut where you have candida or SIBO, and then you're not digesting and absorbing your food. It's not you are what you eat, it's what you are what you digest and actually absorb. So I saw that time and time again. But also specifically to thyroid, you know, the gluten molecules. So the, you know, theory is, I'm sure, being that you're a gut person, that everybody knows about leaky gut who's been listening to your podcast. But, you know, as those tight junctions break apart, the theory is that gluten can sit there and cause zonulin to be released and keep those tight junctions open. It then allows gluten, which is a very large molecule, to get through your gut. It is never meant to get through because it's a very large molecule, but because those drawbridges or your gut is open, it does. And your immune system sitting right there. And then through a process called molecular mimicry, you know, as your immune system goes to attack that gluten that's not supposed to be there, the gluten molecule and your thyroid molecule look very similar. And so it's really one of the theories behind autoimmune thyroid disease is that someone has a leaky gut, they're eating gluten, your immune system goes to attack the gluten, it inadvertently attacks your thyroid. So it's why, I mean, certainly if you have any autoimmunity, I recommend that you do not eat gluten, but particularly if you have autoimmune thyroid, I do not recommend that you eat gluten ever.
Yeah. And so what do you say to the person? And again, there's a lot of bioindividuality with this. You're talking about a specific subset of people, but what do you say to the person that's like, okay, I mostly avoid gluten. We don't have it in the house. I have it once in a while, but they have an autoimmune issue, specifically, let's say Hashimoto's, autoimmune thyroiditis. What's the thought with that? They almost have that sort of dieting mentality around gluten.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not what we're talking about here, right?
No, I don't believe in the 80-20 rule when it comes to certain foods. And then there's molecular mimicry with gluten and the casein molecule. So gluten and dairy are the two absolute no's for me. I mean, literal absolute no's. If I'm out somewhere and I'm starving and there's nothing, I mean, thank God things have progressed over the years. And even in a conventional gas station, you can find a, you know, gluten-free Kind bar or something. I mean, look, not the best thing, but I tell people that when you're stimulating your immune system, if you eat gluten, the studies show that you can ramp up your immune system and these autoantibodies can come up and that they linger for about 90 days. So you have to figure if, okay, it's only Christmas, it's only my birthday, it's only spring break, you know, you've just hit four times in a year that you ate gluten, but you never gave your immune system a break. So for me, it's like an absolute no. Then you have the, oh, I went to Europe and the food is processed differently over there. I've had people go, they're fine. I've had people go and get an autoimmune flare. I just got invited to a Friday night, this is relevant, to a sourdough bread baking dinner. And I declined saying, you know, I mean, the research or people say that, you know, this, the process of the sourdough gets all the gluten out. Well, I'm not risking it. I'm not risking it. And she said, oh, we actually have a celiac. We've made a whole separate batch that's just a gluten-free starter. I was like, okay, I'm in. But, you know, I declined because I'm just not even going to put myself. There are plenty of people who say, oh, I can eat sourdough. I can eat when I'm in Europe. Look, if you don't have autoimmunity and you just have a gluten sensitivity and you're doing this because they're watching your podcast or they've heard me and they want to be healthier, okay, maybe go for it. But if you have autoimmunity, I would not go there. I mean, also people who say, oh, I went to the chiropractor, I took these drops, they, you know, muscle tested me, they did all this stuff and my sensitivity's gone. Still, why risk it? I mean, It's like you can give up gluten and dairy or you can potentially be on these really harsh medications to suppress your immune system. Mm-hmm. And then you might get some, you know, terrible infection because your immune system's suppressed. And, you know, so
yeah.
For me, there's just a no.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and now it is so easy, right?
Right.
I mean, particularly, I mean, it's unfortunately like too easy, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a gluten-free,
right.
You know, cookie option or something.
Right. And we're not saying, okay, these gluten-free things are healthy per chance, but
no.
they're not behaving in the same molecular mimicry for people that have these gluten sensitivities.
Right. I mean, my daughter who is adopted, she does not eat gluten. And I did that just to hopefully help prevent things. But then later she was having some issues and I had her checked and she does have genes for celiac. So now I'm way, way more vigilant. And so she came home and said, you know, somebody's birthday at school. And at her old school, you could only bring fruit for a birthday. So it was like, great. Well, this school, it's, you know, you can bring anything. So somebody brought pizza and apparently she had they had gluten-free and she pulled the cheese off and then they had brought her a gluten-free muffin. But I was skeptical because I've gone to two parties outside of school where somebody said, oh yeah, we brought these gluten-free muffins for, and they were vegan, but they weren't really gluten-free. And another instance. And so I said to the teacher, like, you know, I have a couple of snacks there for her. Maybe we should just stick with those because I'm not really trusting everybody's understanding of what's going on. And I'd rather be safe unless it's a popsicle or a piece of fruit, something that's inherently, you know, gluten-free. I don't want to risk this being an issue. And, you know, she's sick, she doesn't have autoimmunity, but she has the markers or the genetics to potentially get celiac. And I just don't want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like we said, like even you mentioned the autoimmune spectrum, it's even like gluten sensitivity spectrum, right? I mean, it's like people, yeah. Some people don't, I have patients that do fine with sourdough bread, they do fine with even ancient grains that are gluten containing.
Right.
We're talking about bioindividuality and finding
Absolutely.
Out. Right.
Yes. And I'm just saying that if you have autoimmunity, it kicks you into, in my opinion, in my experience, working literally with thousands of patients and hundreds of thousands of people around the world that have followed the program, it's a no, in my opinion. You know,
yeah.
If you're not dealing with autoimmunity, you have a lot more leeway.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for years I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop. Mixed in water. You can also mix it in a smoothie as well. But I just, in between consulting telehealth patients, I'll put it in water, just one scoop, once a day in the morning. But you can do it in the afternoon. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Just be consistent every single day. That's what I want you to do. Each serving of AG1 delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, prebiotics, probiotics, and so much more. Think of AG1 like a multivitamin, multimineral, a green superfood, an adaptogen blend, a functional medicine blend, a gut health support blend, all in one. I know with AG1, I'm giving my body high quality nutrition, foundational nutrition. As someone that looks at labs for a living, I can tell you for new telehealth patients, nutrient deficiencies are ubiquitous. And every batch of AG1 goes through a rigorous testing process so you know it's safe and their ingredients are sourced for absorption, bioavailability, potency, and nutrient density. AG1 is a great product, my favorite product, to fill in the gaps of the most common nutrient deficiencies, foundational nutrition. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and also 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/Will Cole. That's drinkag1.com/Will Cole. Check it out. Let's face it, life can be stressful for us, right? It can be overwhelming. And it's not just your mind that suffers when you're feeling tense and anxious. Stress can also make a mess of your digestion and your immune system as well. But here's the thing, your life doesn't have to be a constant downpour. Introducing Just Calm, product that I love. This is a breakthrough new stress-soothing formula from Just Thrive. Say goodbye to frazzled nerves and hello to a steady, serene, more relaxed you. Just Calm's proprietary mood-lifting blend is clinically proven to help you relax and breathe a little easier in as little as 4 weeks. And for the next level mood TLC, I love the Just Thrive probiotic. I've been recommending it for years. The spore-based probiotic banishes bloat and constipation. So your gut can produce more serotonin, your happy hormone, your happy neurotransmitter. Plus, this combination supports better sleep, so you can wake up feeling refreshed and revitalized for the day. With Just Calm and the Just Thrive probiotic, you'll have the ultimate stress-fighting duo to help you win the day every single day. Right now, when you go to justthrivehealth.com, use promo code Dr. Will, that's D-R-W-I-L-L, you can get 20% off a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic and Just Calm. That's like getting a whole month completely for free. And a portion of every purchase goes to Vitamin Angels, which is a nonprofit organization that saves the lives of millions of children and moms-to-be around the world by ensuring they get the vitamins and minerals they need to stay healthy and strong. To learn more about this groundbreaking company, don't miss my episodes with the founder, Tina Anderson. She's been on the show a few times. There's something new I learn every single time she's on the show. Take control today with Just Thrive.
You kind of covered this already. Another one of my fact or fictions for you is going to be like, and we hear this from people, that I went to my conventional doctor. If I'm not a celiac, I don't have to worry about gluten. And what we're seeing is today, that definitely is not the case. There's a lot of non-celiac gluten sensitivity and other autoimmune issues that have these, this is a component, right? And this is not the same as celiac disease.
Not the same. And I mean, it is just quite crazy. I had someone who had a family history of celiac and had all of the symptoms. And they went to the conventional doctor, got a biopsy, but their villi were not blunted. That was the only aspect. Like, they were certainly on the spectrum, on the way, on the brink of celiac disease. They just didn't have, you know, all the symptoms with the blunting. And they said, well, just keep eating gluten. I mean, can you imagine that somebody would say that? I mean, being in conventional medicine, there really was nothing that people would come in and say, like, can you believe they said that to me? It's like, yeah, I can. I mean, I was trained this way. I know. So yes, I mean, there is an entire spectrum of gluten sensitivity up to celiac. And we used to think that only those with the genetics and genes for celiac could get celiac. But now we are seeing people that do not have the genetics for celiac getting celiac. So, and I don't want to blame it all just on gluten. I mean, it's, as I'm sure you talk about, I mean, I talk about really five factors that are affecting all of us, and certainly those with autoimmunity, but it's, you know, it's infections, these latent infections like herpes, Epstein-Barr, we can add COVID in now. You know, we have toxins, there's toxins everywhere. We have leaky guts. You know, our food supply is not what it used to be. We're stressed out. You know, individuals were being bombarded with all kinds of things, Wi-Fi, you know, different EMF. I don't mean to scare people. I mean, I certainly give you solutions of ways to protect yourself and then go live out in the real world to the best of your ability. But it's not just gluten, but I'm sure you've spoken that, you know, the gluten has been hybridized, it, or the wheat has. So there's a lot more gluten in it. It's being sprayed with Roundup. You know, we're being born by C-section. People are not being breastfed as much. I mean, it's this confluence of everything hitting at one time that's then leading to all of this stuff. It's not one thing. It's a lot of different things that are beginning to add up.
Yeah, certainly. And that's, like, I guess, a good point. We hear this a lot. Fact or fiction? Is it that we know about autoimmunity more? Or is, and people think, okay, it's not as common. It's always been like this. We're just hearing about it more. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, no, we haven't gotten any better,
like,
at
better
antibodies or
guess,
better diagnostics. I mean, a TPO has been around for, I don't know how long, but how many people do you know with Hashimoto's or a thyroid condition? I mean, I remember when I was little, my father was a professor, and one of his colleagues' wife had lupus. And, you know, it was just like this big, scary thing. I mean, I remember watching, not to get off topic, but Rain Man and autism. I mean, these were very highly uncommon things that, you know, that people didn't get, and they were very rare. And now it's just like, look around. Do you know a family? You know, do you know, out of all the families you know, is there nobody that has autism? Is there nobody that has autoimmunity? No. I mean, it's affecting everybody. I mean, you know, at least one degree of separation, right?
Yeah, certainly. And even other immune mediated issues, like just allergic issues, food allergies. Oh. And you look at the amount of kids that go to the get their EpiPens and our
and the allergy shots and how you can't have a peanut on an airplane anymore. Yeah. I mean, it just it was not. I mean, I'm 54. You know, it was not like this when I was growing up. It was not like this at all.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned nutrients early. You mentioned selenium, iodine. What are the other like key nutrients that you recommend people to make sure that they're optimizing for their thyroid health?
Well, so when I wrote The Autoimmune Solution, I had all kinds of supplements for people to take. You know, I was used to being in the clinic and people would come in and just say, what do I need to take? And I would, you know, often it would be a lot of stuff, not forever, but to, you know, help get them over the hump. And I got a lot of feedback that it was just way too much. And so when I wrote The Thyroid Connection, I said, I'm creating one supplement that is going to be like the key. And so we have the Myers Way multivitamin, which I think is the best multivitamin out there. It is meant for anyone with a thyroid condition or hoping to prevent one. So we have 300 micrograms of iodine in the multivitamin. And we can talk about the iodine controversy if you want. 200 micrograms of selenium. I mean, there's studies showing just adding 200 micrograms of selenium into your diet, decreasing TPO antibodies. And I think there's 50 milligrams or micrograms of zinc. We have all the B vitamins. They're pre-methylated. So if you're like myself, you have mutations at MTHFR, you don't have to worry about your body trying to methylate all of your B vitamins. They're already there for you. Vitamin D, vitamin K. I wanted more calcium and magnesium, but they told me it was going to be 10 pills. So I had to back off. It's 6 pills, 3 twice a day. So I really, you know, that was the main supplement that I really encourage people to take when you're dealing with a thyroid issue or you're trying to prevent one. If you have a family history or again, you're just trying to have health prevention or thyroid prevention.
I love that. I love that you made that so easy for people. And it's like filling in the gaps, right? You mentioned it. It was on my list of things to run by you and get your thoughts on is that iodine controversy in this space, right? So fact or fiction, iodine supplementation, is it good or bad for people with thyroid issues?
Well, I believe in iodine supplementation. Like I said, I put 300 micrograms in
Small amount.
300 micrograms. So back in the day, you know, everything or not everything, but we had iodized salt and we were consuming a lot more seafood or what do I want to say?
Seaweeds.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I have some in the refrigerator.
Those green things.
Than we are now. And then the double whammy was we started brominating baked goods and fluorinating our water and adding chlorine to our pools. And so not only we were not getting iodine in our diet any longer, we were then getting bombarded with the other fluorides, which displace iodine in the body. And so it was a double whammy. And so I do believe in minimal iodine supplementation, sort of mimicking back to what we used to consume. There are advocates out there that advocate for something called Iodorol, and there might be other brands, but it's, you know, 25 to 50 milligrams, not micrograms, dosages. And look, I always saw the people who, you know, had bad experiences and, you know, had the worst of the worst that they ended up on my doorstep. But I saw so many people that had been given that advice and didn't have thyroid issues and then ended up with thyroid issues. So I'm personally not an advocate of those really what I call mega dosages of iodine, but I am an advocate of getting what would be the amount that we used to consume, you know, in previous lifetimes.
Yeah, generations. Yeah, I 100% agree. And the amount that you have in the thyroid multi, I look at iodine levels every day on labs. You're not getting, these are safe doses and food. You mentioned like focusing on these sea vegetables are really important. And then getting judicious amounts of iodine are important because, I mean, so many people, they're not having enough iodine. They're not eating enough nutrient dense foods across the board. So iodine being one component.
And selenium as well. You know, I mean, Brazil nuts. I mean, where are you getting selenium?
Yeah, very, very true. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, you're not alone. Millions and millions of Americans are searching for ways to feel better, but feel they've exhausted every option and don't know where to turn. If that sounds like you, then guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom could be a game changer for you. MindBloom can help you feel better faster.
MindBloom is the leader in ketamine therapy, having helped tens of thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. MindBloom's expert clinicians and guides can help you feel better in days, not weeks, and you can complete treatment entirely from the comfort of your home. In a study of over 1,000 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only 4 sessions. Now MindBloom has new programs that go beyond anxiety and depression to help you overcome challenges in everyday life. Right now, MindBloom is offering our listeners $100 off your first 6 sessions program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/WillCole and use promo code WillCole. That's WILLCOLE. Break free from your anxiety, break free from your depression, and feel better faster with MindBloom. Again, that's $100 off your first 6 sessions program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/WillCole. And then there, you're going to use promo code WillCole at checkout. Have you heard about Synalytics yet? If you are a listener of The Art of Being Well, you probably have heard about this. It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals and your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Synalytic. Love this stuff. If someone would have told me that there are science-backed ingredients that could help me feel 15 years younger in a matter of months, I wouldn't have believed it. Then I tried Qualia Synalytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in our body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and pains, slow workout recovery, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle age feeling. Much like pruning the yellowing and dead leaves off a plant, Qualia Synalytic removes those worn out zombie senescent cells to allow for the rest of them to thrive in our body. All you do is just take it 2 days a month. That's all. Resist aging at the cellular level and try Qualia Synalytic. Go to neurohacker.com/WillCole for up to $100 off and use code WillCole at checkout for an additional 15%. That's neurohacker.com/WillCole for an extra 15% off your purchase. Thanks to Neurohacker for sponsoring today's episode. Okay, let's rank, if you will. I know bioindividuality and all that stuff, but just generally, let's rank thyroid replacement hormones. You know, people want to know, like, should they get compounded? Should they do levothyroxine, or should they go for generic people like Tyrosint? And if you had to rate, what have you seen statistically work the best for most people? Exceptions apply. But what's your experience tell you?
So I write about that and the thyroid connection. And really, I just want to give a quick plug for that book that I wrote the book. And the reason I didn't call it The Thyroid Solution is that I'm assuming if you're reading it, you might need thyroid hormone, which means you need to work with a doctor. So I didn't feel that your full solution, like in the autoimmune solution, could just be in the book. And so the book is really meant for you to work with even a conventional doctor. So making sure you're getting the right labs, making sure they're getting interpreted correctly. And then, you know, what is the right dose and the right form of thyroid hormone for you? And, you know, again, I had a lot of people take these books to their physicians and come back. And being an MD, I do feel like it was a bit more well received than an article off the internet from, you know, somebody who didn't have a degree or whatever. So just want to say it's meant to be something to use with your doctor and a conventional doctor if that's all you have. So I personally take Armour and a little bit of T4 Synthroid. So I do believe that it is best to get brand name. And, you know, my insurance personally doesn't cover brand name, so I pay extra out of pocket for it. But there have been some studies in the past showing that the generics were just not as consistent as the brand name. So when it comes to your thyroid, I do recommend that even if you have to pay out of pocket, to go ahead and get the brand name. When I use Synthroid, I try to do it in the 50 microgram increments because there's no dyes in that one. So you don't have to get it compounded. Now, I've literally tried them all. And there was a period where there were some problems with Armor, and I moved everybody to Nature Throid. And then there became problems with Nature Throid, and I got everybody back to Armor. So Armor seems for most people to be the most consistent. And if people don't know, it's desiccated pig gland, and it has, you know, theoretically T1, T2, T3, T4, but it definitely has T3 and T4 in it. And you can get these things compounded, but I do think that there's something about it coming from a desiccated gland that just has aspects that, you know, maybe we don't even know about. So as long as you don't have a pork allergy or anything like that, you know, those are the ones that I go to. I have literally personally tried them all and tried them all, you know, when Tyrosint first came out, definitely, you know, tried that on a lot of my patients. And of course, there are outliers that, you know, somebody will say this one really worked well for me, or this one's really terrible for me. But I would say consistently what I use for the vast majority of people was Armor and Synthroid brand name, and then try to do it in the 50 microgram increments so you're not getting the dye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So I'm sure you've seen this on labs before. I see it pretty often for people that are on any sort of, whether it's Armor or compounded T4, T3 on Cytomel, and they need to be on it, right? It's replacing what the immune system's destroyed. They've kind of narrowed it down to like, okay, I feel good here. My levels look good. But sometimes you'll see the TSH really drop down, right? Because you're getting that exogenous T3. Can you explain that to people? Because a lot of people will just look at the TSH and they'll say, I have hyperthyroid, or their doctor sees it and their doctor says, whoa, we need to lower the dosage. But the thyroid hormones aren't hyperthyroid. Can you explain that? What's going on there?
So, I mean, first of all, if someone's not having symptoms, I don't worry about it. I mean, which is probably sounds like, you know, what you're saying as well,
right,
is that it's essentially an artificially suppressed TSH. So it's getting a feedback from that free T3 or free T4 as well to tell your body that you don't need to produce more. But someone like myself, I'm not producing any because I don't have a thyroid. So I think you can kind of say that that whole, you know, HPA access is completely, I'm controlling it from the outside, so to speak. And so unless someone is having hyperthyroid symptoms, I'm really not looking at that TSH. Now, if somebody comes in and they're telling me they're anxious or their hair is falling out, but if I get my TSH personally, and I've witnessed this in many patients as well, which when you're not dealing with exogenous or high doses like I am, I have no thyroid, then I do ideally want a TSH between 1 and 2. But if you're dealing with someone like myself, or they had thyroid cancer, they're on exogenous hormone, I'm not looking at that unless, again, someone's coming in saying, my hair is falling out, I'm feeling anxious, I can't sleep, I'm jittery. Otherwise, I'm really just looking at that free T3, free T4, and trying to, you know, again, free T4, I want, you know, over, again, every reference range is different, but over about 1.1. And my three, I'm now remembering free T3, I think it was around 3.2, and TSH between 1 and 2, or suppressed if they're not having symptoms and they're like myself needing to be on a, what I would call a larger dose. Cause I don't have, you know, some people who have Hashimoto's maybe just need a smaller dose, 50 micrograms, 25 micrograms, or, you know, 60 milligrams of Armor because they have a thyroid producing some hormone and we're just, you know, adding two. I don't have a thyroid, so 100% of mine is coming from exogenous thyroid hormone.
Right. And just to clarify for people, I see this, even if somebody has a thyroid, but is hypothyroid, you can see this mechanism that we're talking about here too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Fact or fiction, last one, then we'll get into your art of being well, is gut health has nothing to do with thyroid health. Like, why would I care about gut health? I just have a thyroid issue.
Right. So I think it goes back to twofold. One, if you have a leaky gut, we've now just demonstrated how that can lead to autoimmunity. So you definitely want to heal your gut. If you are eating a lot of, like we mentioned, grains that are inflaming your gut, maybe you're not digesting or, more importantly, absorbing nutrients that we've just said are very critical to making thyroid hormone. And what I've also found is a lot of people, most people with autoimmunity, have at least one, if not two, infections in their gut, such as candida or SIBO. These are also going to affect your ability to digest and absorb properly your nutrients, which can lead to thyroid deficiencies or thyroid autoimmunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something that we talked about toxins earlier, a specific subset of toxins, quote unquote, with biotoxins. It's something that I've seen so often, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is mold toxins. And when we clear those out, if they're currently being exposed to mold, I've seen thyroid antibodies come down so dramatically, like get to normal. Like the immune system calms down and regulates itself with mold toxins. It's not talked enough about, I think, because it's kind of poo-pooed in many ways. Like it's like, well, it's mold. Mold's everywhere. What's the problem? But it's for people with autoimmunity, they're not clearing this stuff out, and they have these HLA gene variants in addition to these methylation gene variants oftentimes. But what's your thoughts there with the mold connection and autoimmune issues?
Well, I'll have to come back for a whole hour just on mold toxicity. I've lost everything to mold three times in my life. And for me personally, I have the, you know, HLA genes. I do not clear. It's generally mycotoxins produced by certain types of molds. So yes, there's mold everywhere. And some people have no effect. Some people have mold allergies. You know, they go outside. A lot of people in Austin, the molds are very high. They have, you know, seasonal allergies to it. I have none of that. I have very specific when there are mycotoxins in my environment, I cannot clear them. And what happens to me is I basically get hyperthyroid. I mean, I've also seen, you know, that was one of the things that began me on a look, it's just back to the spectrum. Even someone like myself who lives and breathes this, for external factors outside of yourself, don't blame yourself, can move back up that spectrum. And that has happened to me. I was right after I got married, I was moving back up that spectrum. I had some horrible antibodies that were never positive, but because I was a kid in a candy store and had a lab in my office, was constantly checking things. And, you know, I had some antibodies that were creeping up of some really, really nasty autoimmune diseases. And I went on a search and uncovered that it was mold. And once I got out of the environment and everything, and I want to give a plug for hyperbaric oxygen. It's a highly incredible tool to use for autoimmunity, COVID, long COVID, lots of things. You know, it's one of the things that really helped me get all of my antibodies negative. And so, you know, I don't know the specific mechanism, but I can tell you personally, I of course witnessed that many people in toxic mold situations, they get out, you know, many health issues from just anxiety, depression, to ADD, ADHD, autism, to of course, full-blown autoimmunity, you know, reversing as they get removed. I can say that for myself, the three times that I got exposed, you know, I got hyperthyroid and I had to back off on a lot of my thyroid hormone. I was unable to tolerate it. So I don't know the mechanism, but I know that that has happened to me several times where I've literally had to cut my thyroid hormone in half or else I was just, you know, jittery and all of the sort of symptoms of hyperthyroidism. So it's certainly something that's not talked about in conventional medicine. I think, you know, even in functional medicine, I was not a believer. I think in functional medicine, we, you know, I had mercury overload or toxicity, whatever you want to say, as one of the things. And, you know, that's where I was always going initially with my patients early on. And then, you know, I had a personal experience with mold and then, you know, I was going to that. I don't have a personal experience with Lyme, but then I got introduced to that. So I do think that we as practitioners can sort of see things through the glasses that we're familiar with. Right. And so, you know, there are many functional medicine practitioners that, you know, are not even there, still not familiar enough with mold to really be thinking about it with patients. I think it's becoming more well-known, but I think that they're still, they don't really talk about it at, you know, the Institute for Functional Medicine much at all.
Well, I'm sure we can change that, right? We should start leaning in. And we are changing it through this conversation. And I think it's important. And as you said earlier, you hit the nail on the head. Is that right? Yeah. Is that the right saying? Yeah. Hit the nail on the head. It's a confluence of factors. It's a confluence of factors. And it's easy for us, like you said, to become myopic as clinicians or as a people, right? Maybe just a layperson, this worked for me. So therefore, let's apply it as the only piece of the puzzle for everybody. But we know it's so multifaceted and multidimensional. So this has been a rich conversation, as I knew it would be, talking to a brilliant human being like yourself. At the end of every episode, the podcast is called The Art of Being Well, right? So at the end of every episode, we have Your Art of Being Well. This is Dr. Amy Myers. I'm so excited to say that. Art of Being Well. First question is, what's the worst tasting healthy food? It's disgusting, but you still eat it because it loves you back. It has some great science around it.
Well, I would probably say liver, but I've chosen to take it as capsules instead of eating it.
Same here.
They're good. Okay, yeah. Nobody gave me any warning about this. So this is definitely like rapid fire.
This is rapid fire. Sorry. Spot. No problem. That's how I like it. It's okay.
That's good.
It's okay. Next question. All right. What is your dream vacation?
Bora Bora, Tahiti. If you Google paradise, that's what comes up. And I was going to go for my 50th birthday, and the place I wanted to go was going through a renovation. And then now that I've been through mold yet again in my life, I was going to go. And I thought, why am I going to go somewhere that is just like a little hut over water? That's asking for a problem. Yeah. So it's my dream vacation in fantasy, but I don't know if in real life I would be able to do it just because of, you know, I'd be worried about mold.
I hear you. Yeah, it does sound like quite a moldy, like a mold.
Well, I missed my chance. I should have gone like right when this place was renovated, and that, and then COVID hit, and, and I was building this house and there were all these problems. And now it's been a few years, but like if I'd gone right then, you know, maybe I could have caught it in a good spot before it got moldy.
Yeah. What's your favorite natural deodorant? People want to know, okay, some of them don't work. Some of them like whatever. What are your thoughts there?
I use one of two. Well, I've made my own before, but with the coconut oil, I found that it can sometimes stain, like if I have it on a, you know, silk shirt or something. So Milk and Honey is a spa in Austin that has made some products. So I either use theirs or I use Native, but I can only use one. I think it's the lavender vanilla. There's something in some of the other smells that like I cannot tolerate of Native. So Native, change some of your smells. But your scents, your fragrance, whatever. Hopefully it's not fragrance. I think it's essential oils, but there's only one of their flavors, so to speak, that I can tolerate.
Got it. The Milk and Honey in Austin, is it in downtown Austin? I feel like I've passed it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, okay. They have one in downtown. I think there are three locations in Austin, and now they've expanded.
Yeah, I've passed it before. Do you wear a perfume or a scent? And if so, like, do you have any natural ones you like?
Nothing. My office, my house, scent free. So we built a very sophisticated house out of pumicecrete and steel. I literally, when I have people over, not individuals, but a party, I'll say we are a fragrance free home. And like people who were building the house got sent off the job if they had something.
Wow.
So I will sometimes, no scents. So I can tolerate essential oils. And so sometimes I'll do, you know, a bath with Epsom salt and lavender essential oil. I mean, I do have a range of essential oils that I'll do for a bath, but I don't have scents in my house, and anybody that comes in the house or, you know, cleans the house or anything. I mean, it's, you cannot, and all the cleaning products, no scents.
Got it. I was going to ask, like, what's essential oils? Like, do you diffuse those at all or not?
I don't diffuse them. I have, like, in many years ago, but I don't know. I'm in Santa Fe. The air is good. It smells good. I have a lot of roses and lavender and, you know, real flowers around the house. So I just open the windows and open the doors and breathe the fresh air. But I'm not a scent person, and not an advocate of scents, even natural ones. A lot of them can just still cause a headache or whatever.
Yeah, so. They certainly can. They're potent. I mean, just because they're natural doesn't mean it's not going to affect you, right? All right, next question. Coffee, this is going to be controversial for people. Coffee or tea or neither?
Well, I think it all depends.
But you personally, you personally? Do you have a favorite? This is for you.
Yeah, so I love the flavor of coffee. I was a Dandy blend, which is, you know, a gluten-free, non-caffeinated alternative to coffee. Mm-hmm. And that's, now we have a mocha flavor of my paleo protein. So that's how I get my coffee fix. I'll do decaf. I'll sometimes do caffeine. It's rare. Tea. I mean, I live in a place that's already 45 at night. So one of the best things that I did in our house was to put in one of those hot water on demand, because I knew that in the winter, I would drink a cup of tea every night. So I do chamomile, or I don't drink celestial seasonings because it's not organic, but like a sleepy time type, you know, something that has herbs in it to help with sleep. I love tea in the winter, or warm tea. I'm not a cold, I mean, occasionally a cold. Yeah. I mean, not your traditional iced tea. If I drink a cold tea, like at a coffee shop, like if we go to, I don't ever really go to Starbucks, but my husband does sometimes, and I'll get like a nice chamomile tea or whatever. What I would say about all of these is you want to get them organic if you can. Like, don't go frequent the coffee shop that is not carrying organic. I mean, these are very toxin laden to grow tea and to grow coffee. And I was in Paraguay. I drank mate for, and what cold is today, for 2 years. And I definitely had a coffee, a caffeine fix. I had to like get off of that when I got back to the States. And then also you have to think about molds and mycotoxins, because these things sit, you know, drying, and then they're in humid environments, usually in humid places like South America where they're growing them. And so you do have to be careful if you're somebody sensitive to molds, but in general, just making sure that they're organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was actually a question that I ask almost every guest is, do you go to Starbucks? And if you go to Starbucks, what do you order? But occasionally maybe iced chamomile, I think I heard you say.
Yeah. I mean, that's like if I'm somewhere with my husband and he went to Starbucks, which is also rare. He doesn't really go to Starbucks, because I'm very much like, if you're going to drink coffee, it needs to be organic, and Starbucks is not. I mean, plus I don't think Starbucks has good coffee, but no, I don't go to Starbucks. I personally do not go to Starbucks. I only occasionally accompany somebody.
Yeah.
I don't personally go to Starbucks.
We need to get Starbucks to carry organic coffee and organic teas. Like, what the heck? Come on.
Well, Starbucks. I grew up in New Orleans, which is where, I mean, when I was drinking coffee, iced coffee. So we actually don't even own a coffee maker in our home. My husband has an iced coffee maker where we roast, or, you know, let it brew overnight for 24 hours. It's supposed to take out a lot of the acidity. But I mean, even in the winter, you know, if I'm drinking, even if it's a caffeine free, I mean, it's an iced coffee. So I just kind of grew up on iced coffee, so to speak.
I love it. I love iced coffee.
I've never been a hot coffee drinker. If I'm going to drink something hot, it will be tea.
I didn't know that was a New Orleans thing. Is that just because of the heat or because it's a cultural thing?
I don't know. I have been drinking iced coffee, even in its decaf form, well before the trend of iced coffee. And in a lot of the iced coffee people, I mean, my husband generally has Chameleon because it's organic and in the glass bottle, and they have a New Orleans, you know, a New Orleans one. But in the cold, our paleo protein powder, I make hot chocolate with it. And my daughter, Elle, she's 6 and a half. The only hot chocolate she's ever had is my paleo protein powder, no sugar, 21 grams of protein. So when her friends are over, I'm like, hey, can your kids have hot chocolate? 21 grams of protein and no sugar.
I love it.
Like, of course.
That's great.
So that's my other go-to here is hot paleo protein powder.
I love it. We'll give people the details of how to get that very soon. What's your favorite restaurant in the world? And when you go there, what do you order?
God, that's so hard. I mean, I used to have many favorites in New Orleans when I was eating gluten and dairy. It was a fried shrimp poor boy is what I would always crave. I'm going to give a plug for Picnic in Austin, because that is where I go frequently.
Let's go next time we're in town together. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure.
Picnic. What do you get there?
What do I get? I get the Cobb salad. And my indulgence is they have these little fried chicken strips, because it's the only time or place that I can have fried chicken strips. Although, again, this gets back to the texture thing. They used to be these really tiny, thin, delicate things. And the last time I went, they were much bigger pieces. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. So I got to go again and
give it a try.
We'll see what's going to happen with that.
I like their new location. I don't know if you've been to the new.
That's the one I always go to. It's closer to my house. It's not busy. There's no wait.
No wait.
Don't tell everybody about it. Don't tell everybody about it.
We'll censor this out.
Right. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I love their fish tacos, the cassava tortillas. I think they use siete tortillas.
Now I think they make them. They used to use siete. I think they make them now. They probably realized they could make them for cheaper than
buying them from siete.
But when they first opened, they did use siete stuff.
But I mean, talk about Austin, Texas. I mean, Siete's from there. We talk about Picnic. You mentioned Chameleons was based in Austin. I mean, your city, I mean, you're
Mark Hyman's apparently moved. So Dave Asprey. And then I left. I was like, the world is coming to Austin. Yes. So I'm getting out of here.
The Los Angelinos may just ruin Austin, Texas. I don't want to say that, but they may just ruin it. They may have already. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But
we move to fresher air.
What's the weirdest wellness thing? This is relative. Weird is relative. What's the weirdest wellness thing you've done that you're willing to admit on a podcast?
Oh my God. I mean, I've done most everything other than I've not ever done a coffee enema and what else. And I've not ever done dry needling, but pretty much anything else, I've probably tried it. I don't know about weird. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I'm an open book. I don't mind admitting anything, but probably maybe more controversial or a thing that I really didn't want to do, but was convinced it would help me was ozone therapy. I mean, if you know me, I hate needles and I don't like IVs, even though, you know, I've done IV glutathione and all that stuff whenever I've needed to. So they, you know, basically pull the blood out, circulate it through an ozone thing, and then put it back in your body. So for me, I mean, that's, I don't think weird for other people, but if you know me, that was like really intense.
Yeah.
I just can't think of anything like
And that's probably a better adjective is controversial. I think whatever out of the box, if you want to call it, but that's a good one. Ozone. We've had people on the podcast talk about rectal ozone. They've tried.
Yeah. Well, vaginal. So it was very expensive and it's very time consuming and I hate needles. So I actually bought all the stuff to do rectal ozone because I was like, okay, this is going to be much cheaper and everything. And then I had all this disaster with our house and it's sitting in the drawer unused, but you know, catch me next time and maybe I'll be able to say that. But I have all the stuff to do rectal ozone, but I haven't done it yet.
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't have just rectal ozone paraphernalia?
You can't see, but I'm like hyperbaric machine, infrared sauna, laser, you know, I got it all sitting right here. So I'm a gadgets person for sure.
If I had a nickel for every time, I'm just kidding. If you had to use only one skincare product, only one, what would that product be?
Oh, mine.
What do you use? What is it? tell me about it.
Oh, it's way over here. Oh, so if you know me, until I turned about 50, used no skincare products. I have no facial work, no nothing. I don't do anything. I was using Dr. Bronner's. And my friends at Milk and Honey were like, you got to stop that. So we realized, and then when I moved here, it was so dry. So we created a cleanser, a vitamin C cleanser, and a hyaluronic acid serum, which is pretty low hyaluronic acid. You don't, you know, have to worry about the redness and the burning. But my favorite living in a very dry climate is, this is a box for the mask, is we have basically a night cream. I mean, I use it all the time here because it's so dry, but the regular person, if you're living in a humid climate, probably should mostly just be a night cream. So that's my facial care regimen now.
I love it.
Before it was Dr. Bronner's for 50 something years of my life.
You've upgraded.
I've upgraded to my own self.
I love it. All right, my friend, where can people go? Where do they go to get these amazing products, to learn about your work, to get the books?
Sure. Everything's amymyersmd.com. And that's AmyMyersmd.com. Books, Amazon, wherever books are sold. So I don't have books on my website, but all of the products. And more importantly, we have lots and lots of free articles, information. If you sign up for the newsletter, you know, we put out an article every week, recipes. And, you know, also if we have sales or things like that, promotions going on, you'll find out through that.
Thank you so much.
And then my team, I don't remember the link, sent you a link for your folks. You can say it later for a free ebook or something.
Yeah. I have it. Let me find it. I'll do this. So everybody, you can get a free gift from Dr. Myers. So generously gave it for, is going to give you one. Everybody, look at the description of this episode for a free gift from Dr. Myers, right? It's a free gift.
Yes. And it's amymd.io/thyroid.
Love it. We'll put the link and all the show notes. So go to drwillcole.com for this episode. It'll be on the episode description too on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you, my friend. Come back anytime.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.